Tonight, cop killer manhunt. An officer gunned down, another dies while searching for the suspect, accused of fatally shooting a pregnant mother, sitting in fear with an armed and dangerous man on the loose. Family ties. President-elect Trump names his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, as a top advisor inside the White House. A storm of controversy over anti-nepotism laws and possible conflicts of interest. School bus inferno. Dozens of children saved in the nick of time, the driver being hailed as a hero. Buyer beware. Popular over-the-counter pills marketed as a boost for your memory. Now the feds say there's no evidence they work. And golden moments with Hollywood's biggest stars, but it's the pint-sized shutterbug behind the camera who's inspiring America. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. After a 2016 that will be remembered as an especially deadly year for the nation's police, 9 days into this year, the Orlando area is in mourning after a dramatic day that left two law enforcement officers dead and a murder suspect still on the loose. It began early this morning when the wanted man was spotted by an officer outside a Walmart, leading to a deadly exchange of gunfire. NBC's Jacob Rascone has late details.
Tonight, Orlando law enforcement reeling, saying an emotional goodbye to two of their own, including Master Sergeant Deborah Clayton, shot outside a Walmart, police say, by a fugitive. The urgent manhunt now in its 11th hour.
We're going to bring this dirtbag to justice, and he's going to jail.
It started in this parking lot around 7:15 a.m. Witnesses say Clayton confronted murder suspect Markeith Lloyd, yelling at him to stop when Lloyd opened fire, hitting the officer.
He pulled the gun and started shooting. That's when the officer started backing up and returning fire.
Backup arrived within 28 seconds. Police say Lloyd shot at a police cruiser, carjacking a bystander before disappearing.
The man we're looking for is very dangerous.
But during the search, another tragedy. Orange County Sheriff's Deputy Norman Lewis, involved in the manhunt and on his motorcycle, was killed in a traffic accident.
Everybody knows this guy, and just a loving, wonderful human being, and he is going to be missed as a friend and as a police officer.
Investigators had already been searching for Lloyd for nearly a month, the only suspect in the murder of his pregnant ex-girlfriend. Clayton, a wife and mother, was also a 17-year veteran of the Orlando Police Department, one of the first officers to respond to the Pulse nightclub shooting last summer. Beloved for her outstanding community policing, especially mentoring young people like Brandon Cunningham.
Sergeant Clayton was an amazing person. She was so much more than a police officer, so much more than a mentor or friend. She was like family.
The manhunt is still ongoing nearly 12 hours after the shooting here. Police helicopters in the sky, hundreds of law enforcement officers in the street. Lloyd has a long criminal record and grew up here. The police chief said he's likely been able to stay on the run for so long because he's had help. Lester.
All right, Jacob Rascone in Orlando, thank you. Now to the new developments in the deadly shooting rampage at the Fort Lauderdale Airport. The suspect appeared in court today as we learn more about what he's telling authorities and what the FBI knew about him months before he allegedly opened fire and killed five people in the airport baggage claim. NBC's Kerry Sanders has the latest.
Today, the alleged gunman, Esteban Santiago, was taken to federal court in handcuffs and ankle chains. A far cry from this security footage obtained by TMZ, which allegedly shows him at the airport Friday, calmly pulling out a pistol and repeatedly firing.
Everyone looked so scared. And I wanted to get back to my family because I didn't know where they were.
A federal affidavit says Santiago gave a confession that he brought the pistol legally to Florida in checked baggage, firing approximately 10 to 15 rounds. He now faces charges involving murder, firearms, and airport violence that could carry the death penalty. In Anchorage, Alaska, at a motel where Santiago most recently lived, the FBI hauled away a dumpster looking for clues. Chief among the questions now, did authorities miss important warning signs? In November, the Iraq War vet walked into a local FBI office with a loaded gun, appearing agitated and reporting terroristic thoughts. Authorities took him to a mental health facility and confiscated the pistol, believed to be the same gun used in Friday's carnage. He was released 4 days later and eventually got his gun back.
The gap is knowing about people who might be dangerous, but no way to deal with it.
Santiago's brother told NBC News he seemed especially troubled after he came back from military service in Iraq in 2010.
He's still a nice guy, but sometimes more furious.
In the chaos Friday, the gunman killed five, including Shirley Timmons from Ohio. She was celebrating her 51st anniversary with her high school sweetheart. At the airport, there are still 20,000 pieces of abandoned luggage and irreplaceable keepsakes.
This is Rufus. My dad gave it to my 10-year-old before he died. In Broward County, if you see Rufus, keep him safe and get him to me, please.
The alleged gunman, Esteban Santiago, will be back here in federal court later next week, where he'll have a detention hearing, and then he'll be formally arraigned on these charges later this month. Lester?
All right. Kerry Sanders, thank you. There's late word this evening from President-elect Donald Trump officially naming his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, as one of his senior advisors in the White House, showing that even at the very highest levels of the West Wing, the president-elect is planning to maintain family ties, which some legal analysts say may be against the law. Here's NBC's Peter Alexander.
One day shy of his 36th birthday, Ivanka Trump's husband, Jared Kushner, has quickly established himself as a political power broker. Tonight, named senior advisor to his father-in-law, President-elect Trump.
Jared is a very successful real estate person, but I actually think he likes politics more than he likes real estate. I'm going to tell you.
Praised by Trump during the campaign, Kushner was by his side for some of the biggest decisions along the way, despite having no political experience. Kushner, who lobbied his father-in-law to select Mike Pence for VP, will have unique influence inside the walls of the White House, alongside chief strategist Steve Bannon and chief of staff Reince Priebus. Officials say he'll take no salary, but he'll be involved across a broad range of issues. Trump has said Kushner could even play a key part in the Middle East peace process. While his role has fueled speculation, Kushner has quietly been taking steps to distance himself from his multi-billion-dollar real estate business, Kushner Companies. His attorney telling NBC News Mr. Kushner is committed to complying with federal ethics laws, that he'll resign as CEO of his family business.
He needs to cease and desist immediately. During this transition period, he has tried to have his cake and eat it too, and that's very dangerous.
A top Trump advisor insists the president is exempt from a 1967 federal anti-nepotism law created after President Kennedy's selection of his brother as attorney general. In the 90s, federal judges supported President Clinton's move to put his wife in charge of health care reform efforts. And tonight, transition officials tell NBC News that Jared Kushner will divest from a significant number, but not all of his assets. As for Ivanka Trump, she'll also be stepping back from the Trump family business, but so far, no decision about exactly what role she might play in her father's White House. Lester?
Peter Alexander in Washington tonight. Thanks. As all that plays out, battle lines are being drawn over the president-elect's cabinet picks. A slew of confirmation hearings set to begin tomorrow. And Democrats and Republicans are bracing for a fight. NBC's Hallie Jackson has those details.
For the Trump transition, its biggest week yet. Key cabinet confirmations stacking up in Congress. Two tomorrow, four Wednesday, three more Thursday.
I think they'll all pass. I think every nomination will be. They're all at the highest level.
But among the most controversial, Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, up for attorney general, his civil rights record under fire.
There's some concern about Jeff Sessions in particular.
No, I think he's going to do great. High-quality man.
Trump's team touting how seriously they're taking this. Inside the nondescript transition office in D.C., some 70 hours of mock hearings. Each nominee peppered with some 120 questions each session.
The process is actually meant to prepare the nominee and also to scare them just a little bit.
But NBC News has learned cabinet picks with hearings this week have failed to finish required ethics reviews, according to a Senate aide involved in the process. And while the transition team insists all forms have been filed, the ethics office calls the fast pace unprecedented.
Here's the great irony. Leader McConnell asked for the exact same things we're asking for in 2009 to President-elect Obama. And here's the one difference. All of President-elect Obama's nominees complied.
Top Democrat Chuck Schumer sending top Republican Mitch McConnell the same letter McConnell first sent in 2009, asking for best practices, with Senator McConnell at Trump Tower brushing off Democrats' complaints.
Everybody will be properly vetted, as they have been in the past.
Trump today punting when pressed about his own conflicts of interest.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on Wednesday. It's very simple.
Similarly, dodging questions about Russia's interference in the election, looking ahead instead to his news conference Wednesday.
We'll be talking to you very soon.
And with the president-elect's cabinet nominees now submitting their financial disclosure forms and plans to divest from their businesses, worth noting that they, so far, are doing more than their next boss, Donald Trump himself. Lester?
Hallie Jackson outside Trump Tower in New York. Thank you. Let's go now to a story about a school bus driver being hailed as a hero after an emergency situation with dozens of children on board saved from an inferno. It was all caught on camera. NBC's Tom Costello has more for us.
Dispatch, Medigate.
It happened just before 7:15 this morning.
It's going to be a school bus on fire. School bus.
Alcoa, Tennessee, school bus number 47 suddenly engulfed in flames, but all 29 kids on board safe.
The children are all off of the bus at this time, started in the wheel well, now the engine is on fire.
Witnesses say the school bus driver was the hero. While picking up students, he suddenly heard a pop. Realizing there was a small fire in the wheel well, he quickly got everybody off. But within minutes, the bus was consumed in fire.
I felt really happy and scared at the same time.
I just kept thinking, if my kid hadn't got off there, it was awful.
Today, school administrators said the driver's quick actions ensured the kids never even realized the danger.
Incredibly thankful and incredibly blessed.
Nationwide, there are 6 bus or school bus fires every day. But tonight in Tennessee, 29 kids are home safe thanks to the quick thanking of their bus driver.
He was the last one to get off the bus.
Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Now to the brutal extreme weather, north, south, east, and west. Snow on the ground in 49 out of 50 states. Dangerous conditions sadly leading to deaths. We have it all covered from coast to coast, starting with NBC's Miguel Almaguer in California, where forecasters are warning of a kind of storm not seen in more than a decade. Miguel, good evening.
Lester, good evening. This storm system is still days from being over here in the Sierra Nevada, where there is a critical corridor that connects West Coast products with East Coast states. We have seen avalanche and whiteout conditions. Several roads in this area are shut down. But at lower elevations, they're not worried about the snow. It's all of this water, water that is headed right towards vulnerable communities.
From drought to deluge. Across California, at least 40 rivers are surging above flood stage. 16 million people are under threat. Rising rivers have turned deadly.
Our restaurant's going to overflow. We got to kick everybody out just so they can get home safely because the roads are closing down.
Near Reno, Nevada, a disaster declared and evacuations ordered. The storm system triggering mudslides, avalanches, and rock slides. Trees are coming down everywhere.
Back wheels off the ground.
In Colorado Springs, authorities issued a rare shelter-in-place order because of dangerous winds. In Oregon, it's ice cold. No thaw in the forecast. In California, forecasters say this could be the worst storm in a decade. After standing tall nearly 1,000 years, this iconic sequoia, known as the Pioneer Cabin Tree, toppled by the storm.
A whole area all the way around just looks like a lake. Mother Nature at work.
And tonight, the promise of more rain, more damage, and rising rivers are all in the forecast. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, in California's Sierra Nevada.
Still ahead tonight, you've probably seen the ads. Maybe you even take these popular supplements that promise to boost your memory, but do they really work? The maker is now under fire from the feds. Also, the moment that still has everyone talking. One of America's top actresses versus the president-elect. We're back now with an alert about a supplement taken by millions of Americans. The makers of the widely advertised Prevagen claim their product can sharpen your memory. But today, a federal lawsuit was filed claiming there's no proof Prevagen works and that customers are being deceived. We get details from NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
Your brain is an amazing thing.
You've probably seen the ad.
The breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory.
Claims that an ingredient originally found in jellyfish and marketed as an over-the-counter supplement called Prevagen can improve memory in 90 days. But now the Federal Trade Commission and New York's Attorney General are charging the makers of Prevagen with making false and unsubstantiated claims.
You can't make claims. You can't back up with your own scientific studies. And we're going to protect the seniors in New York and the seniors all over America from false claims.
The complaint alleges Prevagen manufacturer Quincy Bioscience failed to show that Prevagen works better than a placebo on any measure of cognitive function. In a strongly worded response, Quincy says, "We vehemently disagree. There is a large body of evidence that Prevagen improves memory. There is no reason for a short-staffed and lame duck FTC to rush this complaint through. Prevagen costs up to $68 a bottle at major retailers like Amazon, CVS, and Walgreens. According to the complaint, sales have topped $165 million. Tonight, it is still being sold, while a judge will decide if the thousands who bought Prevagen hoping to get their memory back should get their money back instead. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with news that might have parents checking their bank accounts, especially if they're expecting. Whoa, baby. New numbers out tonight from the government show that little bundle of joy will cost you quite a bundle of money. The cost of raising a child is about $14,000 a year. That works out to $233,610 through age 17. It's most expensive in the urban Northeast, least in rural parts of the country. Much of the cost comes from housing, that additional bedroom, also child care, education, and food. A historic night of the 74th annual Golden Globes as La La Land broke records with 7 wins. It swept the top prizes in the comedy or musical category, including Best Picture, Best Actor and Actress, Best Director, and more. But the moment still being talked about came when Meryl Streep accepted a Lifetime Achievement Award and used her speech to call out President-elect Trump.
Disrespect invites disrespect. Violence incites violence. When the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose.
Trump fired back on Twitter, calling the 3-time Oscar winner, quote, overrated. And more from the Golden Globes when we come back. The inspiring young shutterbug all the stars wanted a selfie with on the red carpet. We end tonight, as we do every Monday, with something inspiring. Last night, many of you watched professional dreams come true on stage at the Golden Globes. But for one little girl, the real prize was the red carpet. Our Joe Fryer tells us about an 8-year-old photographer who survived a tough battle in our Inspiring America report.
The red carpet is supposed to be like a one-way street, all lenses pointed in the same direction toward the stars.
So go ahead and turn it on.
Yet a couple days before the Golden Globes, it was a photographer who seemed worthy of our focus.
And I'll shoot it. Perfect.
Just 8 years old, Juanita Hernandez was getting lessons so she could take pictures at the big show.
How excited are you for the Golden Globes?
I'll do from a scale to 1 to 10, 10.
A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a girl who was diagnosed with cancer when she was 5.
It's really painful. You as a parent don't want to hear from a doctor saying your kid got cancer.
Juanita had to endure surgery, chemo, and radiation. What made things easier was a program that taught her photography.
I used to think that nobody would want to play with me because I had cancer, but then this program changed me and it changed my mind.
The program is called Pavlov Shutterbugs, named after Pablo Threlkill Castellez, who died of cancer at age 6. Through photography classes, young patients can express what they're experiencing.
For a moment, just kind of step away from the chaos that is the sort of cancer realm and just be kids.
It certainly helped Juanita.
Live from the red carpet!
With her cancer now in remission, she made her way to the Globes, not only taking pictures of Hollywood's biggest stars, but with them, posing with the likes of Amy Adams, Goldie Hawn, and Kerry Washington.
Down front!
Now that's a red carpet statement. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Picture perfect. That's going to do it for us on a Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.